This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. 877-217-5757 is your number. Coming a little later in the hour, we're going to visit with State Representative C. Denise Marcel. We begin with Damon Baldone, Public Service Commissioner, appointed to the PSC by Governor John Bel Edwards when Scott Angell left his post to become a member of the Trump administration. Damon Baldone is on the ballot this Saturday, along with a couple of other candidates. They will be available for voting judgment this Saturday, the 14th, and unfortunately, Secretary of State Tom Shedler predicts only about a 20% turnout at best. Damon Baldone, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
And it's also a case in which your calls are invited in our time with Commissioner Baldone, 877-217-5757, and locally 297-5633. Our email is talk at talklouisiana.org. Ali Baltazar is producing. Well, Commissioner Baldone, you were appointed by Governor John Bel Edwards. Why have you decided to make a run for this as a full-time occupation?
Well, as actually I in the position prior to the appointment, when Scott Angell was running for Congress, I served my 3 terms in the legislature. And during those 3 terms, I felt like I was able to give back to the community. And, Jim, can you hear me? Because I hear a lot of music in the background.
Open my mic. There we go. And check on the music, please. I don't know what's going on with his earphones. I'm fine, Allie, but this is former state representative Damon Baldone, and he is running for what amounts to re-election, even though he has not been elected to this post, and doing so as a Republican. You were a lifelong Democrat. Why did you switch parties?
I actually joined the Republican Party about 2.5 years ago. My voting record is pretty, more in line with the Republican Party the entire time. I'm 100% pro-life. I have a 100% NRA voting record. Voted for the largest tax cuts in Louisiana history, over $1 billion worth of tax cuts. So, I mean, I've been recruited by the Republican Party ever since I joined. My district originally elected me as a Democrat, so I felt, I should stay that party, even though my voting record was extremely conservative. I have a 12 years voting record of being conservative values, so I'm not concerned about the party. I've always held those values, and I hold them still today.
Now, being pro-life and pro-gun, those are popular stances in many parts of our state, but really, what does that have to do with being a member of the Public Service Commission?
Well, just people relate to you as being conservative with those values, but also I'm extremely fiscally conservative. You know, I always fought the general administration when he kept trying to use one-time funds, one-time funds for recurring expenses when he gutted our universities. That's not conservative. We don't make an investment in your education or your infrastructure, you're not going to get a return. And I think that's conservative values. I'm a businessman. I have started several businesses. And, that's how you don't run a business, by using one-time revenue to pay recurring expenses.
Damon Baldone is with us. He's a lawyer in Houma. That's where he is right now. He served in the Louisiana House from 2002 to 2012. And he's trying to become one of the 5 elected PSC commissioners. He currently holds that position after being appointed, and he wants to keep it full time. The commissioners, with only 5, they actually have bigger districts than do our congressional members, and they set the rates for customers for electricity as well as regulating phone companies and interstate trucking. Now, are you taking any contributions from the entities that you will regulate?
Yes, I have. And I think all my opponents have as well. Unfortunately, that's part of the, you have to pay for media. You have to pay to get your message out. I still take campaign contributions from people I regulate, but that doesn't change my influence at all. And for an example of that, when I was in the legislature, I took campaign contributions from the tobacco industry, and yet I've never voted one time with them. I always voted, in fact, 100% against the tobacco industry.
As far as this particular position, right now there are 2 Democrats and 2 Republicans on the commission. Your thoughts about being the swing vote, if you will?
Well, yeah, I know I'm the swing vote. I mean, on the Public Service Commission, it's not as partisan as people like or people think it is, like the legislature. We regulate all ratepayers in Louisiana, so our constituents are Democrats and Republicans. It doesn't matter. If you if you turn that light switch on, we looking out for your best interest. So there's not many partisan votes that come up in the commission. I think we all we have some good members on the commission. It's good to know that this Louisiana has the lowest utility rates in the country. So we have an excellent system. I don't think party gets in the way of that. We want to do what's right for the consumers every time.
This district includes Baton Rouge, much of Acadiana, most of the Bayou, and Damon Baldone is from Houma. And are there any commissioners currently on the PSC or former commissioners who you admire as perhaps role models?
Yeah, Jimmy Fields did a great job, as well as Scott Angel. You know, Governor Kathleen Blanco was on his commission as well. So we have a history of, again, being very proactive, and that's why we are number one in the country as far as lowest rates. So, you know, I got to give credit to all previous commissioners for doing a good job and keeping us in that number one spot. It's a tough balancing act that you have to balance new infrastructure with rates to keep rates low in the future, but we so far have been doing an excellent job at that, and other states are really trying to mimic what Louisiana does.
Now, Commissioner, when Scott Angel was on the PSC, he had a board position with Sunoco that paid him several hundred thousand dollars a year. Was that appropriate?
Well, that's nothing I didn't know about. I don't know that, you know, I don't know if that's appropriate or not. That's an ethical question that I'm sure Mr. Angel got answered, but I don't have any positions like
All
that.
Right. Well, you are a lawyer. Will you continue to practice law if you're on the commission?
I'll still have my firm. I'll be doing this job full time. My law firm will be able to operate, but I have associate attorneys that work with, so they will do the day to day work. I'll be doing this job at least 40 hours a week, if not more. I'm committed to doing that.
When Governor John Bel Edwards made the call to you and asked you to serve, what was your reaction?
I told him yes. I mean, I'd be honored to serve Louisiana any way I could. And I was honored that he picked me out of, you know, almost a million people in this district, that he thought I was the most qualified to handle the job. So I was honored to serve my state any way I can.
Now, you were quoted in a story by Mark Ballard of The Advocate when you were appointed, saying, "I want to make sure the utility companies have a fair opportunity to make a profit." And you also said you want the utility rates to be fair for consumers. Do those two goals sometimes conflict?
Yes, obviously they can conflict, but that's our job to do a balancing act. We have to allow these investor-owned utilities, which are monopolies, to able to earn a rate of return. At the same time, we can't allow them to take advantage of the ratepayers. So that's why I said it's a fine balancing act. We've been doing an excellent job at that. We have some extremely good analysts. So some support staff that advises us. We have outside counsel that will advise us as well. And yeah, there's a fine balancing act that you have to take. But if you do it correctly, we will maintain those lowest rates in the country like we have now.
All right. A listener asks Damon Baldone if you approved of the lawsuit that was filed by one of the levy boards against the oil and gas industry.
Do you approve of the lawsuit?
Yeah, were you in favor or not?
Well, you know, if they have a case, I'm a big advocate of our wetlands. I grew up in South Louisiana, and I'm a hunter and fisherman. And if our wetlands are damaged and somebody's responsible for it, yeah, there should be an opportunity to have redress in court.
All right. Well, it's an important position, and sometimes the PSC doesn't get the focus it should. And currently, there is noted there are two Republicans, two Democrats. What do you think of the current members? You've served with them a while. What's your impression?
Yeah, I get along with them, every one of them, very well. We all have a good relationship. We all stay in touch with each other. It's kind of like once you get in there, you have a relationship with these guys, and they, I feel like they're close friends of mine now, even though I've been only commissioned for less than 6 months. Like I said, just with the hurricane, you know, Scrimeta sent me a text and anything I needed to help out, I did the same thing to help out his district. So, yeah, we have an excellent relationship. There's no animosity with any of us.
What do you think of Foster Campbell?
I've been knowing Foster for a while. I worked with him briefly in the legislature. Some of his last years in the legislature was in my first years. You have to work along with everybody. I get along with Foster as well as all the other members of the committee.
Well, it's, as I stated, a position that's kind of under radar at times. What do you see as the principal objective that you'll have if you're elected to a full term? And we're talking a six-year term.
Well, this used, if I'm elected, I have to run again actually next year. This is only to finish Escangel's term. The next year, his full term is up for re-election, and so whoever gets elected.
Yeah. So what do you view as the principal principal objective between now and the next election?
Well, we have a lot of things on the agenda. Obviously, to maintain the lower rates in the country, we have a lot of infrastructure that needs improving. There's going to be also implementing new technologies such as solar and wind, which we've authorized since then. There's been a big wind farm that we're going to be able to, hopefully, SWEPCO will be able to acquire, which will, again, lower the industry rates as well as keeping the energy, green energy. I'm pro-energy.
Okay, we do have to take a break, but we'll return and spend a few more minutes with Damon Baldone. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you had a good weekend and glad we braved Hurricane Nate without incident. And if you'd like to join us today, 877-217-5757 is your number. Also, the local dial is 297-5633. Damon Baldone is with us for a few more minutes, and then we'll join C. Denise Marcel, State Representative, District 61, East Baton Rouge Parish. Damon Baldone served parts of three terms in the Louisiana House of Representatives. He is the incumbent by virtue of his appointment to the PSC and is running for re-election this Saturday. Now, Tom Shedler, our Secretary of State Commissioner, says that 20% is about all we can hope for as turnout statewide. Now, in this district, the turnout may be even lower because the New Orleans mayor's race will probably be the biggest driving force statewide. What's your concern about such a small turnout and the electorate being largely apathetic about what's going on in these races that are not as high profile as the governor's race or U.S. Senate or president?
Yes, it's sad that the turnout's going to be so low. These are very, very important positions, and it affects everybody's lives, especially the Public Service Commission. It's probably the most important job that a lot of people don't even know about. Because every time it affects everybody's utility rates, business and industry. It allows us to attract industry here because we do have the lowest rates in the country. So it's a big economic driver for the private sector, and it's an extremely important job. Same thing for the treasurer's race. It's extremely important that the people should get out there and exercise their rights to vote. But that's the way it is, and we'll have to live with it. And our job is to make sure that we do the best job with whoever elects us.
All right. Before we part company with Commissioner Baldone, Dan downtown has been waiting patiently. Dan, you're on the air with Damon Baldone.
Yeah, Mr. Baldone, is your voting record to date more in line with the pro-consumer Foster Campbell or the rest of the commission that pretty much looks out for the energy companies?
Yeah, I could say I think every one of my votes has been for the people of Louisiana, ratepayers of Louisiana. I can't say I vote for the companies or vote for the people. I do what's right every time. I mean, sometimes you have to side with the people, sometimes you side with the ratepayers. The only controversy I think we had since I've been on there, I sided with, Eric Scrimeta and Mike Francis, the Republicans, on the waste hauling. That's the only major controversial vote that we've had so far, so I've sided with the Republicans on that issue.
Well, Damon Baldone, best of luck to you. Thank you for joining us today. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you.
We're joined now in studio by C. Denise Marcel, and we're going to talk about crime. And, of course, a week ago we were discussing the tragedy in Las Vegas, and 58 people were killed by a crazed gunman who then killed himself. Today, the New York Times has 20 cities that have had 58 deaths in the last 200 days. Two of them are in Louisiana, which, by the way, has had the highest murder rate in America the last 28 years. New Orleans, 58 deaths in 158 days. Baton Rouge, 58 deaths in 198 days. And when we talk about comparing these cities, which are relatively small in relative to the other cities, the rate is such that it will put both Louisiana cities in the top 10, if not the top 5, in the country as far as rates of murder in these particular cities. New Orleans may very well end up being number one. So if give you an example, New York City, which has about 20 times the population of Baton Rouge, has had 58 deaths in 130 days. Baton Rouge, 58 in 198 days. And New Orleans, 58 deaths in 158 days. So we've got a big issue, and coming Thursday in Baton Rouge, there will be a major forum that C. Denise Marcel has been intricately involved with, a Crime Prevention and Solutions Town Hall, and it'll be at the Baton Rouge Community College. I'll be moderating it. Several guests will be on hand who are in the know about what's going on in our community, and we'll talk about who will be there in just a bit. But Representative Marcel, what's your take on the violence in our community?
Well, you know, thank you for having me here, first of all, Jim. You know, I'm saddened by the uptick in the crime in our community. I believe that it has a lot to do with a lot of different elements. And I think the flood and all the things that happened last summer can certainly be attributed to the uptick in crime.
Well, it's sobering to know that New York and Los Angeles are infinitely more safe than is Baton Rouge. When you do it on a comparative basis as far as population, it's not even close. In fact, we may even exceed Chicago, where there have been 58 deaths in 28 days because of the huge population center that Chicago has. So why are we at the head of the pack on this? What is unique to us that causes us to be so violent as a people?
Well, again, Jim, I think it can be attributed to a lot of different things that happened here, particularly last summer. I think the number is that it's up 80%. I think that when you put the components together with lack of education, we spend less money than anywhere else, too, in terms of education and more in terms of incarceration. You know, I've said that over and over again. And when you cease to educate your people and they're impoverished, that's a recipe for disaster and certainly for crime. I think that more money should be put into different programs to kind of support the community. And we've got to look at what the root cause of it is, and it's not just one particular thing.
Is poverty a big part of it?
Poverty is certainly a big part of it. People don't have jobs. And then so I think some of the stories have come out that it's drugs. Well, you know, a lot of the people would not sell drugs if they had jobs. And a part of that is once you've been labeled as a felon, it's tough to get a job. It's tough to get a job when you're not a felon, when you have a degree. So the economy has a big place in this whole recipe.
877-217-5757 is your number. Locally, 297-5633. And you can email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. C. Denise Marcel, she's a Democrat, member of the Louisiana House, District 61, and she is a former Metro Council person. Now, you live in the heart of some of the hard action, and when I say hard action, we're talking about people being killed in your district. I imagine you get calls quite frequently about the sad news that's happening.
Absolutely. And, you know, even when it's not in my district, even in South Baton Rouge, which is not my district, they still call me. Over in Dixie, they still call me, and I go out. And, you know, I don't mind doing the prayer vigils. I don't mind doing the walks. But we've got to come up with some solutions to the crime. And we, you know, as a leader, I think it's my obligation to host something, to hear from the community and let them know exactly what's going on, particularly with the new announcement of the DOJ. So I think it is my responsibility to do that and to find solutions and give those reports back to people so perhaps we can do something to decrease the crime.
Now, last week there was a major announcement about fighting crime. What do you think about the statements that were made last Thursday and Friday?
Well, I'm not in support of that, and particularly because...
When you say you're not in support of that.
Okay. I mean, the DOJ coming in to what they're calling, I think, a strike force. But, you know, I think that we have to find out exactly what they're going to do, number one. And so for them to come in and tell us what they're going to do in our community is a step backwards. They're talking about harsher sentences, and as you know, in the legislature this past session, that's exactly what we were working against. So I am certainly not for harsher penalties. I think we need to find innovative ways in order to decrease the crime without over-incarcerating people. I don't know if they know, but we're number one in the nation, and it doesn't work.
We are number one in the nation in incarceration, and we're also number one in the rate of murders. So,
We've got to find a happy medium in there, and it can't be over-incarcerating people.
All right. Quickly, who was responsible for the Department of Justice getting involved?
I'm not certain how they got involved. I realize that Trump appointed Sessions, and Sessions appointed Corey Adamson. Not sure of who invited him, but it was very kind of weird to me that all of the law enforcement was there and the mayor wasn't there.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll be back after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar is producing, and our guest for the remainder of the hour is C. Denise Marcel, State Representative, District 61, a district that includes hotspots in our community, and has noted there have been 58 deaths in the last 198 days in Baton Rouge. Those are murders. And the New York Times today shows 20 cities in the United States that have 58 deaths in the last 200 days. And Baton Rouge is the smallest of all the cities, which would indicate that our rate may be at or near the top of the country, a list that nobody wants to have as a point of discussion. 877-217-5757. Ray in Prairieville, you're on the air with Representative Marcel. Hi, Ray, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. I'd like to make one suggestion to Ms. Marcel. And everybody talks about the need for jobs in Baton Rouge, but I think we all realize that to have good jobs, you've got to have an educated population. And I think that our representatives would do a lot of good if they emphasize, finish high school, go to college, and we would have an educated population that could draw industry. The other comment I have, and I know this is going to be unpopular with a few people, but we can't have big new gun laws, but I would like to see us pass something that would make it very difficult, very expensive for anybody who already has a felony conviction and or drug conviction to carry a weapon. And if he's caught, automatically 6 months in jail.
All right. What do you think?
Well, let me just say that I think our gun laws need to be changed, and particularly on the level of the machine guns that we're having on our street. I believe that in the First and Second Amendment rights, I believe that people should have the right to bear arms. However, I don't think that anybody should be able to purchase these large clips to do what we saw happen in Las Vegas. I think that there needs to be some legislation to curb that. And we're going to have a lot of pushback on it. I don't have a problem with it. I also don't think that people should be able to just purchase bullets randomly for these weapons. You're not registered as a owner of a gun, but you can go out and purchase a whole lot of bullets. I think a lot of that stuff that we've got to look at certainly is something that we're going to be looking at as a legislature this coming session. And to your point on the education, I agree that we are pushing education. However, a lot of things happen why people are not being educated. And we're not coming up with innovative plans and training for the people. I think more money needs to be spent there than incarceration. So everybody's not going to go to college, but you can get a technical degree of some sort. But the funds have to be there in order to train them.
All right. Well, as far as the legislature this coming session, early next year, will there be bills filed to address gun regulation?
I'm absolutely positive that there will be.
And do you anticipate what will be in those bills?
Well, I'm not sure if, you know, exactly how they will be strategized, but something along the lines of certainly removing some of these high-powered guns off of our streets. Because at the end of the day, the gentleman talked about a felon getting having possession of a gun. But if a felon breaks in your house and you have these high-powered guns, guess what? They're now on the street. And so, you know, you've got to look at it more than one way. We are a state that love to hunt and fish, and I understand we're sportsman's paradise, but we've got to take people's lives into consideration. I don't want any such thing that happened in Las Vegas or one of the other cities in Florida to happen here in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. and we've got to be able to protect the citizens of this great city and state.
Is there the will from the legislature to pass any kind of legislation of this kind?
Well, I've not really had any conversations with my colleagues, but I think nationally there's going to be a move to do something. And so I can see us doing something. You know, sometimes we can just crack the door, Jim, and maybe we don't get all the way in the door this session, but we need to crack the door. Something needs to happen in terms of gun regulations mm-hmm. that are being found on our streets, deadly weapons that are killing people every day.
877-217-5757 is your number. There is time to talk with C. Denise Marcel, state representative from Baton Rouge. You can call locally in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. What about body cameras?
Well, the body cameras are already on the police officers, which you, I think you may be talking about the crime cameras. What I suggested a couple of weeks ago was that we expand and extend the scope of the work that we had on our body camera committee to include crime cameras and shot spotters. And the reason for that, Jim, is recently a gentleman came forth and said, yes, I witnessed the murder, and the next day they shot him down. So people are real reluctant to coming forth and saying who are committing these crimes. We have to be able to protect our community, but at the same time, we need to not over-enforce citizens that are not doing anything wrong. And that's my concern when they talk about a targeted area.
Where would these crime cameras be installed?
Well, naturally, in the high crime areas. We did some years ago. I'm told I'm no longer on the city council, but I believe that Chana Banks is requesting some of that information on which ones are working, which ones aren't working. I had someone walk up to me last night and said that they had a shooting in Brookstown two nights ago. They called the police. The police never came. But there should be one in that area because I represented that area before. Now, I don't know if they're no longer working or what, but we've got to put something up to make our citizens feel safe, and not only that, to apprehend people who are committing the crimes.
Are people afraid?
People are absolutely afraid. I've gotten several calls, particularly in the South Baton Rouge area when those murders happened over there. And I think they're jumping from spot to spot because they're finding people wherever they are. But some of this stuff is related. Some of it may be drugs. Some of it is rivals between rappers and has absolutely nothing to do with drugs. So it's a mindset. We've got to keep pounding. We've got to keep pushing. And I think the community has to get involved. And the parents and the overseers of these children have to get involved.
Well, people are afraid to talk. That's apparent, and perhaps for good reason. If your life's at stake, you'll make decisions you otherwise would not.
Correct. And so I'm also going to invite Crime Stoppers to our session on Thursday to be there to educate people on how you can call in and be anonymous.
All right, 877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org for C. Denise Marcel, state representative and former Metro Council member. You were on the Metro Council for how many years?
Seven.
7 years. Graduate of Capital Senior High and Southern University. And your district includes much of 70805, doesn't it?
70805, 70802, 70806.
So
correct.
You're right in the tough part of this carnage that we're having. And when I look at these 20 cities with 58, and 58 was a number chosen by the New York Times because that's the number of people who died in Las Vegas last Sunday at the hands of this gunman. But the cities that are listed are Chicago, Baltimore, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Houston, Detroit, Indianapolis, Los Angeles, New York City, Memphis, New Orleans, Louisville, Columbus, Dallas, Miami, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Birmingham, and all of those cities are larger than Baton Rouge, which is also listed. So on a per capita basis, we've got a real issue, and this year it's gone up exponentially, and we're trying to find solutions about what is going on in our community. Stuart in Baton Rouge, Southeast Baton Rouge, I believe. Stuart, good morning. You're on with Denise Marcel.
And Representative Marcel and Jim in the audience. Oh, wow. This problem is sucks the breath out of you. What is the solution? Madam State Representative, I think that if we start with, I heard a noted sociologist on the Rush Limbaugh show one day indicate that we should perhaps render children and adolescents temporarily infertile to at least afford them the luxury of getting out of high school prior to babies having babies. I think this is a tremendous part of the problem. We've got a lot of girls having babies, and they're not mature enough to be able to be mothers, and the snowball exacerbates. I think that starts, that's where a lot of the problem begins. And then we're talking about unemployment, we're talking about lack of education.
All right, well, you just threw out a bombshell for a discussion topic. Does Stuart have a point, or is he way off target on this?
Well, we do see children having children, but, you know, we've got to educate people. And there's a pushback also for birth control, as you know, from the top all the way down. So on one hand, people want to say they shouldn't have these kids. On the other hand, they want to take away the birth controls or the ability to purchase those. So we got health care that we throw right in the middle of that. Certainly sex education has to be a component. We try to push that, and we get pushback every time in the legislature. You either got to teach them, or you got to end up with the results of what happens when you don't teach them.
The legislature, you're right. They don't want anything to do with sex education.
They don't want anything to do with sex education. So you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Distribution?
None of that. They want nothing to do with it. And in fact, I think recently our president came out against funding for birth control. So there you have it.
Well, the issues you're talking about could get worse if there is no sex education or no means of birth control available to people, because people will have sex and they will have babies if they don't use protection. And that's just a fact of life.
And not to mention that we're in the top of the HIV and AIDS in the nation as well. Yeah. Those are some drastic numbers that I think, you know, we've got to work on doing something about. And that's another component of the story.
That's true. We're not only near the top in murders. New Orleans and Baton Rouge annually are in the top three cities, Miami being the other, in the rate of HIV. 877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return in 2 minutes with more from C. Denise Marcel on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. And your numbers are 297-5633 in Baton Rouge, 877-217-5757, anywhere you may be. And you can send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. And we're going back to the phone lines with C. Denise Marcel, state representative, in just a moment. But a reminder that Thursday at 6 o'clock at the Baton Rouge Community College Magnolia Theater, there will be a crime prevention and solutions town hall. I will be moderating, and C. Denise Marcel will be there. And who are some of the people who will be joining us on Thursday?
On Thursday, we'll have with us Chief Carl Dunn of the Baker Police Department. He was former commander over operations here in EBR. We'll have Paul Guidry, the criminal justice professor and criminologist, William Jordan from the District Attorney's Office, Reverend Reginald Pitcher of the National Alliance for Social Justice, Eugene Collins, a community activist, and Carlton Miller, an attorney from the Governor's Office, and certainly Jennifer Mozant, an attorney with Manasseh Gill, Knipe, and Bellinger. And certainly I look forward to you, as always. Mm. You will be our moderator. The people will have an opportunity to discuss what's going on in our city and also ask questions. So it will be a situation where we'll have a mic. Those who want to come up and ask questions can.
Well, you got a full array of authorities here. So,
and we have light refreshments in case you're going to get hungry.
We might go all night. 877-217-5757 is your number. Abe on guard here. Abe, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, good morning. Full disclosure, I'm a former federal Justice Department agent. And you were talking about how does, you know, this new program that we're about to do, any crime prevention or reduction is like a cake recipe. And then you go to departments. I agree with your guest there that we have to, you know, address other areas. But the Justice Department says we have X amount of millions that we can invest in areas that meet certain criteria, and we'll stop with these high ones. So it would be like you're building a cake. Well, I don't have enough flour, so I'll just add double the amount of yeast. And at the end, you will not come out with a cake. And that's where you ask whose idea was it. The Justice Department will come up with it on its own. I have so many millions to invest in addressing Baton Rouge's problem, and it's going to entitle more money for the police departments, more money for the sheriff, more money for a violent crime task force and agents and overtime. And that's how the money gets allocated. And sometimes the communities that get to say yes are your law enforcement side will say yes to anything that they think helps them. But well, like you say, the federal education department doesn't say, well, we're going to give Baton Rouge X amount of millions to help in the GREAT program or any other such program that addresses these teenagers.
Well, I'd
like to hear what you explain about that.
Well, I thank you for your comments since you worked for the federal department before. But one of the concerns that I have, they talked about enhancements of the sentencing. And we've looked at that over and time again, and that doesn't work. A lot of the crimes that they're talking about that are being committed or for, I know that they're hazardous. I know that they're a problem for our community, but these small drug dealers that we're giving all of this time to, and thereby we're spending more money incarcerating them than we would in educating them. I understand that the Department of Justice will not give us any money for education, but they might want to consider some other options other than tactical equipment, such as I've said about shot spotters and crime cameras. If we got all of these millions, let's use some of it in that way, and let's reach out and speak to at least the people who are on the ground to get some input from them to see what's going to happen in their community. I think that needs to happen. But again, thank you for calling in and giving me that information.
All right. Thank you, Abe. And you can still get in if you'd like. 877-217-5757 is your number for C. Denise Marcel. And talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. Here's a question from Daniel about the much-discussed BRAVE program. What did you think about whether BRAVE was something that was good or not so good?
Well, initially when BRAVE came out, I certainly supported it. I went out in my community. We had meetings. We introduced the officers to the community. We thought it was something that would absolutely help reduce the crime. And initially, I think it was doing what it was intended to do. However, during that process, the BRAVE team became the narcotics team, and that doesn't work, in my opinion. And I'm saying the narcotics team because they started to go in and kick in doors and that kind of stuff. And that wasn't working. You can't be the BRAVE team to build a relationship between the police department and the community and then go out and expect people going to buy into it. So I think at some point it failed, started to fail. I think that it was on the rise to come back as they put community activists in it. The last portion of that where those contracts were canceled, I think that was a mistake. I think that those dollars should have gone on the street to kind of help combat crime. There are people who will tell me things about a murder, and I will call Hillam Moore or the chief and tell them what's going on, but they won't tell them. So I think you're going to need those people in between, ambassadors or whatever you want to call them, on the street.
You have been a victim of crime.
Absolutely.
And when I say a victim, you were almost killed, right?
Correct.
So how did you come back from that?
Well, you know, Jim, I have a real belief in God, and I realized that I had to look at what happened with my ex-husband, and he had an addiction, and it was a disease, and it was called alcoholism. And I had to release that from my spirit about being upset about the stabbing that occurred, because at the end of the day, we got to find the root of the problem. The root of his problem was alcoholism. He since died in his addiction. And the judge didn't do anything I asked him to do, which was to give him some long-term treatment. And I think that's where we go wrong a lot of times. A lot of the people need long-term treatment, whether it's substance abuse, mental health, or drugs or alcohol, either one. It causes a lot of our mm-hmm. crimes. And so that's what happened with me. And unfortunately, he died in his addiction because he never got the proper help that he needed.
Fortunately, he didn't kill you, but it was a
close call. Fortunately, I'm still here to talk about it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, as a victim who has survived this, so you know firsthand a lot.
And so they talk about domestic violence in this task force. I just don't know how that really fits in. I've not gotten any details. I would love to have some. I certainly want to see I know domestic violence is on the rise mm-hmm. as well. Again, a lot of those are mental health, substance abuse, and drug issues that people are on, and that's how a lot of that gets started. I'm a witness to that.
Quite often when we have discussions like this, people will say, well, this is primarily an African-American issue, and maybe most of the murders in Baton Rouge are in the African-American community, but it's certainly a male issue. There aren't many women out there killing people. What is it about men that causes them to do things like this?
Well, you know, Jim, I'm not a psychologist, but I will take a stab at that, and I'll say that one of the things that males want to be able to do is provide for their families, and when they fall into a sense of hopelessness, they turn to crime, whether that's drugs or whether they're upset because they can't provide for their families. For various reasons, I believe that males have a tendency to kill more frequently than females, because we can deal with a lot of issues and we bounce back. We'll take some flour and we'll make some gravy and we'll cook some rice and call it a day, when they really want a steak.
Well over 95%, probably closer to 99% of these murders in Baton Rouge, and there have been 58 in the last 198 days, are from men.
And women are more compassionate, and so we see the good in everything, and we can find the good in everything.
Well, 10 years ago, and I think it was 10 years ago, you were on this show trying to get men to quit wearing these saggy pants.
Absolutely.
How's that going?
Well, I kind of left it when I left the city council, but, you know, I still do it on a personal level, and they know me for it in my neighborhood. So anytime I see a guy with their pants sagging, I've stopped my car wherever I am and said, you know, pull your pants up. And my reason for that is because, you know, you kind of want to look professional. If you're going to come in my place and ask for me for a job, you can't come in there with your pants sagging. I think it's disrespectful to see your underwear, and that was my deal about that. I'm still known in the neighborhood. The signs are still up in a lot of locations, not to come in if your pants are sagging. And I think it's a good thing to tell our young men to pull their pants up. I've even seen women with sagging pants these days.
Yeah, it's going around. You sounded like Manuel Martinez, but it's an important issue. If you don't show respect for others, they're unlikely to show respect for you. And that's usually disrespectful when you're showing your private parts in public. And you're smiling. You're smiling.
Correct. But
Thursday night, 6 o'clock, Baton Rouge Community College, Magnolia Theater. We'll have a summit on what's going on with crime in our community. C. Denise Marcel's been the catalyst for this, and we thank you.
And I certainly want to thank Dr. Stibe at BRCC for opening up the doors of her campus to allow us to come in.
Thank you. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Allie Baltazar, I'm Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.